good to see each one of you here this morning. A little bit better weather than we had last Sunday. We're glad that you've come to be with us, and we hope that the lesson today will be one that will encourage you, that will bring you hope and peace. If you paid attention to the songs that we've been singing together this morning, you might guess that the subject we're going to talk about today is hope. We started a few weeks ago looking at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul talks about what we call the seven ones. And today we're going to look at, he says, there is one hope, even as you're called in one hope. You're called in one way. If there is ever a time when people needed a message of hope, it is today. When you look at our world and the confusion that is in our world today, people are fragmented. They are divided into different ideologies, different philosophies of every kind. There is so much unrest in our world today, not only in our country, but throughout the world. There is the constant fear today of something worse coming, and many are predicting terrible, terrible things ahead of us. But I want you, when you leave here today, to be able to leave with a smile on your face. There's a song that we have sung through the ages that talks about God and what He is able to do. He is able to give us peace, to give us comfort in troubled times. If there is one hope, wouldn't it be wise for us to ask ourselves, what is this one hope? The best definition I've ever seen for the word hope is this. If somebody said to you today, do you want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven, raise your hand. And I'm asking, do you want to go to heaven? Okay. Well, understand there's a difference in wanting to go and planning to go. There's a lot of people that would say, yes, I want to go to heaven. But are you making plans to go? You see, hope is desire. I want to go. How bad do you want to go to heaven? We were talking about that in class this morning, that if you want peace and joy and happiness, you want hope in your life, then you must put yourself into the Word of God, into a study of it, an understanding of it, a compliance with its precepts. Hope is desire coupled with expectation. How many of you are going? I won't ask you to raise your hand. I want to go, but are you planning on going? Not like the little boy. I told you about the young man who was in the service one day, and the preacher was preaching, and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody but one little boy raised his hand. So the preacher got down and walked up in front of him and said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody but the little boy raised his hand. So finally he looked right at the young man and he said, boy, don't you want to go to heaven? And the little boy looked at him and said, yes, sir, but I thought you were taking up a load right now. If today were the end of the world, do you really plan on going? Do you believe today that if this were the end of the world, you would simply step out of this low ground of sin and sorrow? and you would hold to God's unchanging hand, and you would walk with Him into peace, and you would be prepared for Him to, for you to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There's a verse that many people are using quite often today that is found in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, where God says, "I want you to consider all the things that I have planned for you and the hope that I have for you." Do you know that God has hope for you today? He desires you to be His. And He hopes, He expects you to respond to His love and to His goodness. He is looking forward to you receiving a crown of life. That should inspire people today. What would it do to so many people today if they were really looking forward to heaven? Might it curb some of our anger and our violence? All the things that divide us today, if people truly believe that God had something better in store for them that love Him. Paul said in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, "May the God of all hope keep you." I believe that so many Christians today are living below the threshold. They're living below what God wants. He says He has a peace that passeth understanding. He has comfort, joy, peace. The Bible talks about all the things that are worth having. And He says, "I will give them to you. Just come and walk with Me. Come unto Me, all you that labor or heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll take your burden. I'll take your cares. And I'll put a smile on your face, joy in your heart. I'll put pep in your step, so to speak, if you'll just come and walk with Me." There is glory, the glory of God is in Christ. And that glory can be seen through the cross. Isn't it strange that the most precious things that we can think of, forgiveness, peace, joy, hope, salvation. You can go on with all of the great things, the words that describe the greatest things we can have in life. And yet all of them are conditioned upon the worst of all possible things, the death of the Son of God on Calvary's hill. When you think of hope, there is no hope without the shedding of blood, for there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. When we look at our world of pain, agony, and hate, and all that there is, it is the same world that Jesus walked into 2,000 years ago, and He brought a message of hope. It is the same message today that can bring hope to the troubled soul. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "And every one of us who claims to be a Christian should look at this verse often and ask ourselves, do I have that?" Ask yourself today, are you concerned and worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? Are you worried like some people about an all-out war, even on our own soil? Many people today are so frightened about what tomorrow may bring. But listen to what Peter said. Be ready always to give a reason of the hope that is within you. Do you today have that desire coupled with the expectation that whatever happens, whatever comes, that I can not only sing this song, but I can believe it completely? It is well with my soul. Whatever comes, it is well with my soul. You see, nations, evil men, families, so-called Christians, Paul said, I am convinced that there is nothing, not principalities or powers or might or anything, can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You see, today, if I am in Christ, if I have put my faith and my hope in Him, I have decided, and y'all know the words of that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If someone asks you today, are you planning on going to heaven? Could you say yes? And here's why. Now I understand. I have no plans to go to heaven today because I'm perfect. I have no hope today of going to heaven because I'm better than people around me. I have no hope of going to heaven today because I have earned a right to the tree of life. I hope to go to heaven today because I believe in the Savior who died on the Roman cross. I believe He paid the price for every one of my sins. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. He is able to do exceedingly above all that you think or ask. He's an all-sufficient Savior. There would be no hope at all if I did not believe that Jesus can forgive what we consider the smallest of sins. He can forgive us from gluttony to murder. He can forgive us from envy to adultery. He is an all-sufficient Savior. There's hope in the blood of the Lamb. The psalmist writes a lot about hope. In Psalms 130, he says, I wait upon you with hope. It is in you that I hope. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 25, Paul says, wait upon Him with patience. You ever get in a hurry? I want things better today. When there are problems in my family, I want them better today. When there is problem in the nation, I want signs that it's going to be fixed and better today. When there are financial concerns in my own life, I want them better today. How many of you have this concept of patience? Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. Hope gives us patience. Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and love. I know that the Bible says, and the greatest of these is love. But do you understand that I would not long love God if I did not have hope that He could cleanse me from my sins, lift me up and let me stand on a higher land, on a higher plane. So when Paul says there is one hope, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Then don't let your heart be troubled. He sent His Son into this world to cleanse us from our sins and to give us hope. Today is the day that many in our world celebrate. They call it Father's Day. And I hope that what I'm going to conclude this lesson with today is not out of line, but that it will make all of us think what a precious gift hope really is. As I look back upon my life, and I think of the man who shaped me in so many ways, there were many things in my life as I journeyed along life's way that often made me angry, upset with the man I called my father, the things he did and thought, and the way he acted. But as I stand here today, I have asked myself for the last 25 years, what would I trade for the good things that my father gave me? Few people ever had a father who knew the Bible better than mine. And few children were ever taught it more deeply than mine taught me. And though there was much he did not understand about the grace and the mercy of God, he believed with all his heart that there was a God in heaven, that he had a son that he sent into this world, and that son came to save us and give us hope. Now, with each passing day, I believe that every day, unless I miss one every now and then, I take time to thank God that there was a man many years ago, a boy at the age of 16, who had never before then set foot into a church building. But he had read his Bible through four times by the time he was 16, and he studied it every day. And one day he went to his father and he said, "I've been studying my Bible, and I want to be a Christian. So I'm going to start visiting different churches to see if I can find one that teaches just what the Bible says." His father sat down, and with his tears in his eyes, he said, "I know where truth is. I walked away from it 42 years ago. And if you'll go with me, I'll take you back to where truth is." 2 weeks later, my dad was baptized. And 2 weeks later, he began to preach. And he preached for the rest of his life. I know that when the roll is called up yonder, there will be me who will have a hope of eternal life. Because a boy of 16 said, "I want to go find the way that leads to hope." Don't miss it. Don't let the things of the world crowd out the hope that is in Jesus. It is the greatest cure for anger, for hate, for loneliness, depression, anxiety. It is the greatest cure from all of life's evils. Is your hope built on nothing less than Jesus Christ? If you need in any way to come to Him in obedience to His will, lay hold of God's unchanging name. Let's stand together and
time is filled with swift transition.